You are listening to Speak Up Arkansas with Arkansas Advocates for Children and Families. I'm Rebecca Zimmerman. January 2020 will mark the fifth anniversary of LRSD's takeover by the state following a State Board of Education action on January 28, 2015. That date is not just an anniversary. It marks the date that under the state law, the State Board must take action to either annex, consolidate, or reconstitute the district if LRSD, the Little Rock School District, has failed to meet the exit criteria established by the Arkansas Department of Education. The State Board recently announced a proposed framework for reconstituting the district that many parents, educators, and advocates fear will result in segregation of students in the city and will fail to adopt proven approaches to education that help students thrive. Today, we'll talk about what has been happening in the district over the past several years, recent developments in the state takeover, and what students, schools, and the district needs to be successful. Today, we are joined by six guests, State Representative-elect Denise Innett, Tim Jackson, an LRSD parent and organizer with Grassroots Arkansas, Teresa Knapp Gordon, the president of the Little Rock Education Association, Ali Nolan, a Little Rock School District parent, Veronica Paulson, also a Little Rock School District parent and graduate, and part of Support Our LRSD Coalition, and Leticia Retta, parent advocate. Thank you all so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So I wanted to get started, just to give our listeners a background of how we got here, what's been happening over the last 5 years, and what was the original reasoning behind the state taking over the school district, and anyone can jump in.
This is, I'm Allie Noland. I will say that the technical basis given for taking over the district was academic distress. I believe there were six schools that were classified as F or failing schools at that time. And one point that seems to be lost is that the underlying theory behind why a state would need to take over a district is this theory that the democratic process has broken down or isn't working or isn't allowing the community to use that process to make sure that a school board successfully manages a school district. So when we talk about all these solutions, I think it's great to start with what was the original basis, because the whole reason we don't have a school board is based on this theory that we can't for some reason be trusted to do that. And so that's what was happening.
And we had just elected a new school board, mm-hmm. for the most part. And so, you know, one of the theories, which is hard to prove, is this idea that the school board that was elected seemed to be a threat to the powers that be, or people that had interest in expanding charter schools and those kinds of things. And so the state seems to have seized control of the district to put off what they felt was a threat. It's unfortunate and wrong.
So I'm Teresa Knapp Gordon, president of Little Rock Education Association. And one of the reasons, or one of the problems that was inherent in Little Rock School District prior to the state takeover, was that the schools didn't have the resources they needed in order to provide the services and supports that the students needed. And that is because of cuts in state funding. And pretty much the public schools have been starved as far as providing necessary supports and services like social workers and full-time school counselors and things like that, that our students need in order to be successful. We need those wraparound services. We've needed them for a long time. And as a friend of mine says repeatedly, schools are a trailing indicator of the problems that exist in society. The poverty that is inherent in these communities where these schools exist is the biggest problem. And the schools can't take care of that problem. That is a government problem. That's a city problem. That's a state problem. And until those things are taken care of at that level, the same problem will exist in our schools.
Anything to add? So what's been happening over the last 4.5 years or so while the state has had control of the school district?
It's gotten worse. everything the state set out to accomplish, they failed in. And it strikes me as ludicrous that the word that gets thrown around all the time is accountability, that the state, you know, seized control of the district because it lacked accountability. But the state is completely unaccountable, 100% unaccountable. So whereas there were six failing schools, and we disagree, I think we all do, with the term failing schools. But by the state's own definition now, after 5 years of control, there are 22 schools that fit that description. And so Diane Zook, the chairman of that board, and that board, no one on that board is going to lose their job. No one on that board is going to lose their position. Nobody on that board is going to lose their standing in the community for the work they've done. They are completely unaccountable. So they've sought to destroy the union, and it looks like they're going to put the last nail in the coffin of that next week if something doesn't dramatically happen. And so they've closed schools, they've given new charters, they've done a variety of things that have not helped the district at all.
I would like to add, you know, one thing that they've also done is they didn't really even give us the exit criteria until, when was that? That was in January of this year?
Maybe February.
And so when you don't give people a goal to work, you know, towards, and then the exit criteria that they put out, the measurement that they're using, the ACT Aspire test, isn't really measuring what we need to measure. And so then to call a school failing based on a test that's biased, based on a test that doesn't adequately and wasn't made for that, we end up, you know, categorizing students, children, and schools as failing when really there are great things going on in these schools. But if they were to actually acknowledge, you know, the good things that are going on and the progress that's being made, then they wouldn't be able to break them up.
I'll add a little bit to what has been going on. Over the course of the past almost 5 years, we have seen increased public participation coming out to meetings. It started when the public would come out and argue against plans to close and consolidate certain schools, and then the state board would do it anyway. And then we saw last December there was this plan to waive teacher fair dismissal rights, and hundreds of people came to that meeting and spoke against that plan, and they passed it anyway. And then we've seen the recent round of public meetings, and we had hundreds and hundreds of people come out to those meetings and get more involved and care more. So one of the things that's been happening is that more people are paying attention, and they're involved, and they care about what's going on with the schools. So in that way, it's a hopeful sign. It's a positive sign about what we can do going forward.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And this is Therese again. Let me just say, too, that the district has had some successes under state control, but it was in spite of the control that of the state board and the ADE. We are on our third superintendent while under state control, and Superintendent Poor has worked diligently to garner the support of local businesses around our school district. He has, we have collaborated to put a lot of new programs in place that are designed to help our students be successful. And, the state really hasn't done a lot. As a matter of fact, in January, the state was directed to get in our schools and to do the work necessary to provide support to our schools. And since that day, they have been in our schools, but prior to that, we didn't see the state involved in our schools very much for the last 4 years.
And Allie, you're saying more parents and other mm-hmm. advocates are getting involved. Letizia, you want to talk about how you got involved in advocating on this issue?
Okay, as a Hispanic parent, we're waking up because the stress of our kids are having the school. They come to the houses and they say, okay, mom, something is going on in the school. My teachers is going to go to, they're not going to show up, or they don't have a support that they need. We need to do something, and we need to get involved. So if our kids are getting involved, we as a parents are waking up and we're knowing facts and things that is that are going on that we didn't have before. So more information is coming from the schools, from the not precisely from the Little Rock School District, but yes, from everything what's going on. For parents to be involved is kind of hard because we don't have as a Spanish translation for all this information. There's a lot of information to learn and to. It's just too much for us sometimes. In English, it's kind of hard to understand. But for parents that we're concerned about our kids' education, we need to get together and learn what's the facts and everything what's going on. So that's how we're becoming involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it sounds like, I mean, this is a confusing process for everyone. There's so much going on, and it seems like things are shifting all the time. And if you know, materials about what's happening is not being translated in other languages, it makes it more difficult for parents who may not speak English as their first language to get engaged in their schools and in this issue specifically.
And believe me, there is a lot of parents that they're afraid to speak up. There's a lot of parents that they want to get involved, but they don't know how there's going to be a translator every time that there's a meeting. They don't know how the teachers or the principals are going to react if they show up into meetings that they're not supposed to or because they were not invited. So there is a lot of confusion there.
I'll just add a couple examples of parent advocacy, because that's something we have seen an explosion in Little Rock just in the past few years. We have a group of parents that have done really heroic work on literacy advocacy, on dyslexia advocacy. I was involved in advocating for the longer recess bill. We have parents that have pushed back against plans to arm civilian staff members. So there's been a lot of involvement in parent advocacy in the school district. So this narrative that parents in Little Rock don't care is just false, because we absolutely do care.
And representative-elect Innett, you've been a mother advocate for a long time. Is how do you see this situation now that you're about to go into the legislature?
Like everybody in here, we've been advocating over 5 years, because when the school district wanted to close my children's school, Carver, back
I went to Carver.
2014, I started going to the school board, and then a year or two later, then the state board took over school district. So for me, I've been advocating for years, but and now being elected official, it's still the same because I'm still a parent, number one. Mm-hmm. And knowing what they're trying to do to the school district is unsettling. And most of the failings are schools that are on the category 3 are largely in my, some of them are in my district, and then they're south of 630. So it's going to negatively affect black and brown students.
Well, let's talk more about that. That is a big concern about, and let's move into what has the state school board proposed, and what impact are people thinking this will likely have on, in terms of resegregating schools in the city?
So from my understanding, the schools in category 3, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, there's a rumor that, you know, the charter schools would kind of swoop in and take over those schools that are not performing as well. So that's a big concern for everybody.
I'm happy to clarify. Yes. If you want me to. So right now, the state board hasn't actually given us really any information other than saying they would divide up the district, and some schools, the higher performing schools, the A through D schools, would be under limited local control, and there would be a group of schools that they have to decide what would happen, because those are the schools that are going to be consolidated and reconfigured. They are going to decide which, you know, which way those schools go. But the schools that are classified as F schools would be under, quote, different leadership. And they haven't really told us what that different leadership would be, but it's different from local control. So clearly they're saying, you know, here is a group of schools, we're going to trust you all to have local control to run these schools with the democratic process. And here's a group of schools, and we're not going to trust you to run those schools. And that's the part where people talk about dividing up the district and the city is it's trusting people differently or just flat out not trusting certain parts of our city to govern their own schools.
And two, one of the things that is overlooked quite often with the framework that the state board released is that they state in that framework that they will retain some authority even over the tier one schools. And what that means basically is that they will retain certain decision-making powers, as maybe financial, or you know, they said they would give the local board control over things like transportation and food services and things like that, but they would retain some authority. And that's not okay with the parents and advocates of Little Rock School District. We believe that it should be a democratically elected school board with full authority to make decisions, because it's obvious that in the 4.5 years under state control, that the state board has not had a plan the entire time and has failed our school district and our children with their authority. They have not done anything to improve the academic achievement of Little Rock School District children. And in fact, much of their focus has been toward financial and facility issues and not academics.
And you're listening to Speak Up Arkansas, and right now we're talking about recent developments in the Little Rock School District. If you have a question for our guests or a comment, you can give us a call at 433-0088. And so,
oh, I'm just going to say, I think it's important for us to note, for the community to know, our schools are already highly segregated. And that's been a problem for a long time because of white flight and because of fear and because of the kind of bull that, you know, we hear, well, we need to build great schools out in West Little Rock, which is where I live. I'm the one that should, I'm the poster child for the person that should benefit the most from what the state's doing. And I think what the state is doing is such a miscarriage of justice. It is so at its heart racist. And so what we've done for years is we've said, well, we need world-class schools so that we can draw industry, right? But what that means is let's build world-class schools in areas where realtors drive people around, because realtors don't drive incoming industry people around south of 630. They drive them out West Little Rock. So what we've done for years is let's build a Roberts out on Highway 10, and then we'll do something for the other part of town, and we never get to that. So I don't want to give the idea that there's some magical thing that we were in before the state took over. It was a problem. What the state has done is made that problem worse, and they are seeking to institutionalize the idea that we just ignore the schools that are 80-90% African-American and Hispanic. There are schools on the south side of 630 that are 90% African-American and Hispanic, that have 90% free and reduced lunch, low, you know, very high poverty students. And there's a school that my church took supplies to that have 5 students who are homeless. Homeless. And so our best resources should be going to those schools. Our best teachers should be going to those schools instead of starving them. And the state is seeking to continue that kind of thing and actually even make it worse. Because this 9 zone for the tier one schools is just going to basically weaken even more the African-American influence in the school district. And so it's not right.
Well, and I also want to say that if we allow, and make no mistake, that the original plan when the district was taken over was to charterize our school district. We saw that with HB 1733. And the bill that came after that, and we were able to beat both of those bills back. If we allow a third party to come in to run some of our schools, the 8 schools that are classified as Tier 3, there's nothing to stop them from moving in and taking over more schools, because those designations change from year to year. You're going to see whenever the scores come out that the 8 schools that were low-achieving schools last year are not going to be the same 8 schools this year. And so what happens then? Are we going to take some people out of Tier 3 and put others in every other year? And how far do we allow that to go? In addition to that, when you allow a charter operator into the district, they're not going to stop with just running those tier three schools. They're going to apply for waivers in the name of educating our children. And those waivers are going to apply district-wide. Waivers are not granted to schools. They're granted to districts. One of the charter schools within our district has 93 waivers to state law and standards for accreditation for public schools. The district can apply for any and all of those 93 waivers, which take away from all of the things that make public education great in our state, like licensure for teachers and minimum class sizes and minimum salary scales and a certain curriculum and the arts instruction, things like that, library media centers in every school. Those are all things that ESTEM has waivers for and that the district could apply for waivers for if this is allowed.
One thing that I think that we haven't quite said here yet that is so fundamental to, I think, everyone here in our position is that we're fighting for local control because we think it will be better for kids.
Yes.
There's this misconception that when we talk about this, that we're talking about adult issues and ignoring what's best for kids. But the reason that we're focusing on this is that if you have locally elected people making decisions, then if they aren't doing their job, you can vote them out and you can enforce, it's more accountable. And so we have really talked about local control, and we need to make sure that everyone understands that the reason we are talking about local control is because it would be better for kids.
And you're listening to Speak Up Arkansas with Arkansas Advocates for Children and Families. We're talking about developments in the Little Rock School District. If you have a question or comment, you can give us a call at 433-0088.
Yes, this is Veronica. I wanted to add to what Allie was saying is what the main point of this is what it's going to do to the children. When we talk about disenfranchising and taking away the right to elected officials for just one group of people and what the long-term impact can be on the children that are within that district or in that school, being told that you're not good enough so you don't earn the right to have an elected official. That's not what America is about. That's not what is fair. That's not what the law says. And so we can talk about it all day long, but what we're doing is we are damaging these children for their lifetime. And so, when we talk about trauma-informed practices and, talking about getting to the root of issues, if we're the ones inflicting that trauma on the children, what does that say about what kind of, if we're trying to create a good school, but we can't practice from a place where we're not harming them. So I think we do need to keep that in mind, just like Allie was saying, that we do want all the children to do well.
And Representative-elect, are you hearing from your constituents a lot about this? I imagine that you probably are.
Yes, I am. I do appreciate all the support that we have gotten from, especially from the parents north of 630. I think that's important to everybody. That shows a united solidarity, a good front, because it affects all of us, like Veronica was saying.
The idea about unity, we've talked about that a lot, that those meetings, the public meetings that were described in the press as being so heated and that everyone was yelling, to me, those were so inspiring, because what happened was people had disagreements, but they continued to talk to each other. Nobody packed up and went home. They came back to the next meeting and the next meeting and the next meeting. And that's exactly what it's going to take for us to be successful under local control, is to have all those people continue to stay involved.
And I'll just say real quickly, Allie's absolutely right. It has been inspiring and encouraging to see people show up. What has been so discouraging is for the state board and the governor and the state education commissioner to be like this. No, 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 no. We can't hear you, because we stand there and say, we put our names on emails, we put our names on what we say, and they completely ignore us. This week in a Freedom of Information Act, we uncovered emails from Diane Zook, the chairman of the board, in which she sent to the board 33 suggestions that she had picked up from the community. nameless, faceless, anonymous suggestions. All 33 dovetail beautifully with what she wants to do. And she asked that the board give equal weight to those 33 anonymous suggestions to a woman who lives in Melbourne, Arkansas, 100 miles away. She said these were things she picked up in restaurants and at church and grocery shopping. So I guess the diners and worshipers and shoppers in Batesville are authorities on what should happen in Little Rock. And so she directed we should give these 33 suggestions the same weight as the hundreds and thousands of comments they've received from people who put their names and faces and voices to their comments.
I'll plug the email tool right now since you're talking about emails. There is a tool online. It's yes. OurLRSD.org, OurLRSD.org. And it's a tool where with one click, you can write a message and hit send, and that message will go to Governor Asa Hutchinson, Education, I think it's Secretary now, it was Commissioner, but Johnny Key, and every member of the State Board of Education. Currently, at least 550 people have sent emails. I want to ask the state, I wish someone would ask the state, when is the last time you received 550 emails about anything? It just shows that they aren't listening or don't care, that the people who are affected by these policies do not want this plan.
You know, it's interesting. In their own push poll that they sent out, they asked what was the impact of LREA on student achievement and on teacher effectiveness. And, it, you know, we kind of thought that was pretty funny considering we're not the ones in control.
Oh, we've got a caller. You're on the air.
Hello. This is Jim Carpenter. I'm a parent of two children who came up through the Little Rock School District back under the magnet school program. I'm a citizen of North Little Rock. I graduated from North Little Rock under the control of G. Thomas Isley in the three-district federal desegregation lawsuit period. My fifth grade teacher was Lois Petillo. And I feel like Little Rock should be back under local control if for no other reason than the failure of the state to make any advancements in education. I would also like to say that everyone should recognize that the primary responsibility for student education is the student. Student needs to have a responsibility to know that they need an education and that they're going to learn. They're going to be in the classroom to learn. And I'm afraid since I was a child in the 70s that too many feel like they should grow up being movie stars, rap singers, or professional athletes and not that they're going to need an education and know how to add, subtract, multiply, divide, and
well, thank you for your call. So I think that might be a good transition into what I wanted to ask everyone next is what does our dream school district look like? What would make schools thrive and what would make a good environment for students to learn, what would make them happy and healthy and want to go to school and be able to, you know, participate in different activities and keep their interest.
Well, one thing is having a unified school district, having local control back, also having community schools. So many kids have different issues at home and they need that extra support, having wraparound services for the students and even having services for the parents so they could be the best parents that they can be.
Can you explain what community schools are?
Community schools are, they're open to the community. They have different classes and different things for parents to come so they could be better parents, having resources like mental service health and different things so kids can thrive and be better. And we all know if kids are fed and they have a safe place to be, that they perform better in school. So I think if we can, you know, come up with some type of plan to get that going, I think that'd be good. And having parents' participation, that's always a good thing.
I want to just kind of add on that when we talk about that, we also talk about the importance of early intervention. You know, when we talk about the P3 and P4 programs, we need more of those. And, you know, when we think of community schools, we're really thinking of those wraparound services. Because if we ask a teacher to teach curriculum, but they're trying to teach to a child that maybe doesn't have a home, or maybe they're in an unsafe living environment, maybe they haven't eaten, maybe they don't have the health services that they need, maybe their parents are struggling and they're watching that. So we can't just expect, oh, just go read that book and take this test and that's all we do. We have to give these children in these communities more of what they need.
I'm going to add real quickly. So as far as what do we want our school district to look like, what would be a world-class school district? There are a couple of things. One is everyone needs to have that elected school board member that you can go to when, for example, the school buses in your neighborhood are consistently late and your child is missing class time, or your child has an IEP, which is an individualized education plan, and the school is not meeting that. There needs to be some sort of resource that parents can go to address those issues. And then along those lines, you know, I started this by talking about the fact that really local control is a democracy issue. It's about being able to, you know, have a say through your vote. And there are lots of things we could do to make that more accessible. So voter registration drives, voter education events, having school board candidates have forums at every school, maybe even on-site voting at the schools. And then the meetings that we have should be much, much more accessible to the people in the community. So make them kid-friendly, because it's not rocket science that the people who are the, you know, probably the most interested in attending these meetings have kids that, you know, we can't all afford to pay $60 or $100 to hire a babysitter to go to every school board meeting. They stream these meetings on social media. You could very easily take public comment and public question via comments on social media. There are lots of things we could do to let people be more involved in that process, which would increase that accountability part.
Well, and I think that also our kids need more resources. We need support in our schools. We don't need continued takeover by the same people who have failed our schools for the last 4.5 years. We need full-time counselors. We need full-time library media specialists and media clerks in every school administering a quality library media program. We need full-time nurses in every school. We need modern classrooms. My child is in a science class where they don't have microscopes. They don't have the things they need to perform science experiments, and the science teacher has to go out and purchase those things out of his own budget, not his school budget, his own personal budget. And that's not okay. Not whenever our state ends the year with a surplus. That's not okay. We're starving our schools into failure, and that is not okay in the state of Arkansas.
NPR did a forum on education recently, the local NPR station, and there was a child there that was in high school, and I was surprised that one thing he kept going back to that his school needed was more school counselors, and he's just a kid, and he saw that as a need.
But the counselors aren't, I mean, the counselors are helping with your whole academic experience, and again, we've seen that. There are two things I want to say real quickly, but again, I live in a affluent part of town. My son went to Fulbright Elementary School, to Horace Mann Middle School, and to Parkview High School. He had two parents he was read to every night. Reading recovery program in second grade at Fulbright saved my son's life. Mrs. Latch, taking him out of class 3 or 4 times a week to get him up to speed on reading. And then that program was cut, and she was sent to 3 schools, you know, before it was on. And so, again, we're not putting our money in the right places. We're not concentrating it. I think the biggest thing we could do to move the needle to get the district we need is to start listening to teachers and start letting teachers and principals collaborate together on designing campuses and curriculum and those kinds of things. And the real tragedy of the state takeover was, let's say there were problems. Instead of moving the decision-making closest to the point of implementation, they moved it further away. School districts, as a habit, should be leaning into teachers and people on the front lines to design. Ms. Knapp has spoken eloquently about this. Sometimes there are bad teachers. Sometimes there are bad principals. But there are good teachers at every campus in this city. And so let's tap into them and let's talk to them before we talk to a commissioner from Mountain Home who has never been in a classroom in his life, who the state legislature had to change the law in order for him to get his job, about what his ideas are about education.
Leticia, do you want to talk about, you said there are some unique needs to families that have immigrated here, students themselves who might be immigrants. Can you talk more about what schools would need to better work with those families, make sure the parents have what they needed to?
Well, as a parent, we see the problem on the southwest community. It's been affected really bad. It's, baseline, the schools basically in the southwest that have been affected because of lack of communication. The kids are being exposed already to all the worries of the teachers they have. They're worried about the teachers, how they know what the teachers are spending for their own materials. The teachers are putting their money, the teachers are doing more stuff than what they're supposed to and spending more time. Sometimes we don't know nothing about it because, like I said, the lack of communication, the translation in papers. We don't know what's going on in these schools in all this southwest area, but our kids are stressed about everything, what's going on, and they don't have counselors to go to because the counselors attend the whole school. It's just not for them. It's just they attend so many students that they're not paying attention to them. Even if the kids are interested on to see how they're going to participate, how they're going to support the teachers, how they can change their schools, they will not be able because there's so many students for one counselor, mm-hmm. and that's worry for them. That is stress for them. And the schools are closing. In that area, the schools are changing really bad. Even if they're trying to change and good teachers, and like as everybody says, there's good teachers and bad teachers. But for one, there is more good teachers that they're putting time and effort in all the students. And for those good teachers, many students want to stay there in that school. They don't want to be moved because now they're afraid. They're talking now to a new school, and that's, they're not supposed to worry about that. They're supposed to worry about the schools, not so many tests. They're supposed to worry about what they're going to study after college or after high school. And instead, they're worrying about what's going on right now. They don't put attention on their tests right now.
And that might answer our caller's question. Some kids may see school's a very stressful situation right now, and so it might not be enjoyable for them because they are picking up on things that are happening and they might not have all the services that they need to be successful. They might not have, food when they get home. They might not have mental health services that they need and things like that. And so school might be as
For many immigrants, students, they came from another country. They have or they don't know English at all, so they have the English as a second language. They have to work harder to that. And then adding all the stress that the schools are having and the district is having, they're so confused, and instead of progressing, they're going backwards because they don't know what to do. So instead of worrying about what they're going to eat, how they're going to handle their parents' problems, how they're going to handle their situation in the school, they just worry about everything else, but not in their studies.
We as adults need to help make sure that kids can just be kids and not have to worry about this stuff.
Right. And also, Senator Joyce Elliott, who's been a warrior on this issue for a long time, talks about the fact that we need joy in our schools. And people, you know, we talk about all the standards and we talk about these services and things like that, but there's also this idea of just helping empower kids to love learning and just, you know, enjoy going to school. And it's really hard to do if you're a kid who has been labeled as failing, and your community is labeled as failing, and your school is labeled as failing. And that goes back to what Veronica was talking about, is that by dividing these kids, we are already inflicting trauma, and we're already doing some psychological harm to their own, you know, to their self-esteem, what they think about themselves through this process.
And I think it's important to note too that these are not failing schools. These schools have been failed. And so we have to remember too that these children are not failing. These children have been failed by the state, by the governor, by the commissioner, by the state board. They have not been provided with the resources and the supports necessary for them to be successful. And I think that we have to keep that in our narrative, because the children are not what's failing. The children are being tested ad nauseum. The testing is out of control, and the testing feeds their narrative that our schools are failing. Our schools are not failing. Our schools are being failed by all of the people who have put these things into place to feed their narrative, including the testing.
In going all the way back, in Brown versus Board of Education, the Supreme Court said separate is inherently unequal because it does the psychological harm to the kids. And we are right there today. I mean, we're talking about the exact same thing, is that just by dividing them, by saying these kids, you get local control, these communities can be trusted to use the democratic process, and these communities cannot, it goes right back to those core principles of separate is always inherently unequal.
And you're listening to Speak Up Arkansas, and we are talking about recent developments in Little Rock School District. If you have any questions or comments, you can give us a call at 433-0088. And just another basic thing, I think a lot of people, I was surprised to learn that until recently, when you, Allie, and representative-elect and other parents and kids went to the Capitol and advocated for extended recess time, that kids were only, even little ones, just some of them only having 15 minutes of recess, and that's not good for their learning either, to sit at a desk all day and not be able to run and play.
That was a great bill that was passed. Allie and I and other people, parents and legislators, helped pass that bill. Kids need to play. They're kids. They have energy. They learn better once they get burned in energy. They perform better, and they sleep better too when they get home. But things like that are just elementary and just basic. And return to school district should be a basic thing, and it's so convoluted right now. So hopefully we can get to a point where we can have one school district, have all the schools under one local control, and I'm praying that that's going to happen soon.
I want to just kind of illustrate something for y'all that when we were working on, when Parents for Active Learning were working on the bill to get extended recess, you know, there was a gentleman, a representative, when we were testifying on it, you know, why do we need this? And he kept saying, I don't understand why y'all didn't just go to your local school board about this. This is not a state level issue. I don't understand, you know, I don't want a state mandate. And here we are, Little Rock parents who did this. And, it, you know, we kept saying to him, we don't have a local school board that we can go to. We don't have anybody that is allowed to represent us on this issue. And so that just perfectly illustrates, you know, this is a simple thing that everybody in the Capitol agreed on, that these children need to run. And I mean, we only got 40 minutes for them. It's still only 40 minutes. That's a whole nother issue. But, you know, we need to keep that in mind when we're thinking about this.
And I want to add real quick that is a great example of why I keep pushing for the democratic process to make policy decisions. In that fight for extended recess, we felt like we had such an upswell of grassroots support from parents around the state because we had 300 letters that parents had sent. Well, in this fight, we have had more than 550 emails sent, and it doesn't matter because these are unelected people that are making the decisions. And so that goes back to, as parents, as community members, as business leaders, we should really be able to have that say and, you know, push for things that impact our own kids. And right now, we don't have any way to do that.
And Teresa, Leticia was mentioning that even kids know that their teachers are paying for school supplies and things like that for the classroom. Can you talk about where teachers in Little Rock School District are right now? I kind of know the answer to the question, but what's the general mood and what are you hearing from your members?
Well, LRA, first of all, we represent educators. We represent teachers and ESP, education support professionals. So we represent everybody, custodians, transportation, secretary, all of those people, plus the teachers. And I guess probably the best way to say it is they're angry. The educators all came together from different schools all over Little Rock. They developed a plan that was well thought out, and we thought could probably solve a lot of the issues that we're experiencing in our schools, and it was pretty much dismissed. There was no communication about it. There were no asks for additional explanation, nothing. And that pretty much tells us what they think about our plan. And then in addition to that, we believe that the state doesn't think our community will fight for our schools. And the teachers, and even the community, I think, knows better than that. I think that we all know at this point it's time for everybody to come together, to stand in solidarity, to fight for our Little Rock schools, and to show them that they are wrong about us being able to control our own schools, and that we're not going to put up with this. We're not going to take this. And the legislators themselves have told the governor and have told the commissioner and have told the state board that this is not what the law requires. So they're doing this because they want it to be done. He mentioned an FOIA request that had a lot of documentation in it. I've seen the FOIA request, and the documentation, the communications between the board and outside people are pretty much between the board and one outside person. And that person pretty much wrote the framework that the board has adopted, which is unfair. This person doesn't even have kids in our schools. He pulled his kids out of our schools. In addition to that, they think, just like they did from the five community meetings, that they can go and they can pretend that they're listening to us, and then they're going to do what they want to do, and we'll get over it. And I think it's time for us to show them that we're not going to get over it. So I'm going to plug something right quick. Next Thursday, October 9th, we are hosting a candlelight vigil at Central High School. We will provide the candles. That's next Wednesday night, the night before the state board meeting. We'll be there at 7:30 p.m. We will provide the candles. They're battery operated, so we won't burn Central down. And we're going to have a candlelight vigil to show that we care about our schools, and we need everybody to show up. Also, you can go to our website, which is onelrsd.org, and you can sign up to get the latest updates, and you can also sign up to volunteer at events, because we need all hands on deck at this point. And we're going to fight for our schools. It's time for this community to say enough.
And to add to what Teresa was saying, a couple of my colleagues and I, we have spoken to the governor last week, a private meeting in his office, and to express our concerns about the Little Rock School District. So we have been in the background trying to push the needle forward. So hopefully the governor will come to his senses and intervene somehow. So, yeah.
We definitely hope for that. I also want to build on what Teresa was saying about how you can show your support. Obviously, go to the website, show up to the events. But if you are a business owner in Little Rock or really anywhere, we want you guys to be able to show your support. We have signs that you can put in your window, and we will be publicizing the list of businesses that have been willing to show their support. And we want to encourage people to use those businesses that are supporting the Little Rock School District. And so if you know of anybody that would like to show their support, please let us know.
And also, to add to what Veronica just said, we need churches to come out too, to help with all the things that's on the website that Teresa just mentioned.
I want to add just on the, I guess, the substance of the issue about the LREA. I'm a parent. I don't have any skin in the game. I'm not a member of the union or a teacher. But I will say a couple things. One is my child has had three teachers in the Little Rock School District so far, pre-K, kindergarten, and now first grade. They have been excellent teachers. I mean, I will get teary-eyed just talking about how good they have been. Last year at the end of kindergarten, my child hugged her teacher crying in the parking lot because she didn't want the school year to be over. They are everything that every parent ever dreams of. And I have no reason to doubt when really excellent teachers tell me that this is a benefit, that it allows them to focus on what needs to be done in the classroom so that they have someone else that has their back to worry about, you know, everything else. Now, I will also say the process side is that the process the state board has used to address this issue has been so offensive to people in this community. They made that motion with no notice to the public and while teachers were in school and couldn't be there. And so just the fact that they were not even trying to let the public weigh in on that. My suggestion, I keep going back to the democratic process, there is absolutely no argument for why this shouldn't be an issue that could be decided by a locally elected board. Let's have school board candidates out there who can run on this issue, have open public debates, talk about the pros and the cons, and let a locally elected board make decisions about the policies that affect our schools. Because there, I mean, I have not heard one thing from the state board about why it has to be forced on Little Rock from the state instead of letting the locally elected board address that.
And I would just add, I was told by a member of the community advisory board, so the Little Rock School District has an appointed community advisory board, and I was told by a member of the community advisory board that the State Board of Education does not owe anybody an explanation, does not owe anybody a vote, does not owe anybody a voice in the process, that they are appointed by the governor and they are protected by the Arkansas Constitution, and whatever they want to do is okay. And so that community advisory board member told me, if you don't like it, go change the Constitution. I said, well, that's a long-term plan. But let's talk about the short-term plan. And it appears to me, if you look at all the documents in the Freedom of Information dump, that it was their goal from the very beginning to destroy the union. That's what they set out to do. Because the union was the last, if you take away a school board, the union was the last thing that stood between them and total control. And so I've read Brett Williamson's notes, and he's scratched out everything that says LREA. He's written all over Teresa's plan that was submitted. He's scratched through it, everything that Diane Zook put on there on her 33 suggestions that says anything about kill the union. He circled and starred and put exclamation points. I think this board set out to say the last thing that stands between us and privatizing this district is the power of the Little Rock Educators Association, and that's the last thing, that's the last step. And so if nothing else happens, what I hope is that our community will just realize that elections have consequences, and we talk about, you know, pocketbook issues, we talk about kitchen table issues. There's nothing more pocketbook and kitchen table than our schools. And this has been a travesty of democracy, not a victory of democracy.
And I'll just follow up on that by saying that the LREA came into existence as the LRCTA in 1950. And our first contract was negotiated and agreed to in 1966. And the PNA has been in place since 1966. Even if we lose the recognition as the exclusive bargaining agent for the educators of Little Rock School District, LREA is not going anywhere. We will still be here and we will still be fighting the fight. We just won't have recognition to keep us from saying what needs to be said. So we're not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. The LREA will be here and we'll be fighting for our children every day as long as we exist. And I don't see us going away anytime soon.
So we have just 4 minutes left. And with those 4 minutes, I'd like to end on a hopeful note. So can everyone go around, and I'll start with you, Allie, and just say one thing you're hopeful about for the school district or one thing that you really love about this the schools now.
I have to tell you, I am so appreciative that you are including this question, because I have now given quite a few media interviews, and every single time I include a statement about how much we love our schools and how great they are, and they always cut that part when they air the interview. And so I'm
so glad. I don't
have
that technology.
I'm so glad that you're including this, because I and so many other people have chosen Little Rock School District schools because they are fantastic. Yes. And, you know, I'm not going to say that there are not things that need to be worked on. Every school district has things that absolutely need to be worked on. But our school experience so far has been incredible. What I'm hopeful about is, I mean, I've already kind of said it, but just we are seeing much more community involvement, much more unity in this issue than we have seen in my experience ever. And so it really makes me hopeful. We need people to actually make a commitment to continue to be involved long after the drama dies down, to, you know, once we have a locally elected board, to vote in those elections, to come to the meetings, all of that stuff. But that gives me a lot of hope that so many people are paying attention right now.
I like to piggyback off of what Allie just said. I'm hopeful. We have a lot of great participation from people all over the Little Rock School District. I'm hopeful that we could come to some solution, because our kids need us. The kids need great schools. Kids shouldn't have to worry about all this stuff. They should just go to school and be able to learn and thrive. And we know that education is one of the biggest equalizers. And so we really need to get all of our schools up to par so all of our kids can be good citizens and move on and do great things.
And I'm just going to say, this is Teresa. You know, the newspaper likes to call me the union boss, and so do certain members of the community. And maybe I am a union boss. I don't see myself as that. But I am an educator. I'm a parent. I'm a community member, and I'm a taxpayer, too. And people need to remember that those union thugs that belong to LREA are their children's teachers. They're their children's counselors. They're their children's aides and custodians and bus drivers and nurses and all of those different people that they entrust to take care of their children every single day. The majority of them are LREA members, in addition to many of our administrators in Little Rock School District being members of the AEA and NEA. So whenever you say the union bosses or those union members don't care about anything but themselves, you're talking about the people that you entrust the care of your child to. And so you might want to think about who you're talking about. Every school in our district has the potential to be a world-class school. And our teachers and our educators in our district work their hearts out every single day to make that happen to the best of their abilities with the resources they have. And I don't want anybody to ever doubt that that's what the goal is in Little Rock School District.
Lightning round. We only have a little bit of time left.
Sorry.
So it's okay.
Okay, as a parent, I would like to have more, be hopeful to the community to get more involved. I really appreciate all the teachers and the schools, because they're so great. And being in a public school is making your kids